Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and today's podcast is on serial killers Alton Coleman and Deborah Brown. Alton Coleman and his girlfriend Deborah Brown went on a two-month killing spree back in 1984 that left 8 people dead and across several states in the Midwest. So we're going to talk about that, but before we do, let me introduce our panel. Oh, we have a new, what is this? Not a logo. What is our new
motto?
Motto, slogan. And it's History Dweebs, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Isn't that cool?
It is.
Well, because, you know, I've been trying to figure out how we tie in serial killers with history all this time.
Because
we kind of started this as a history podcast, strictly history podcast, and then we kind of went off to the dark side. So that's going to be our motto. Anyway, let me do introductions.
Then I got a question. How come you two always want to just do serial killers?
I don't. Brandy is the, that's her.
It's the
strong
dark queen over here wants to do serial killers.
But our listeners like serial killers and murders and things.
You some sick bastards out there too, but we're glad you're listening.
Yeah. And even if you have serious problems, we're glad you're listening to us. But anyway, let me introduce our panel. I am joined by probably one of the finest women I've ever met.
What the hell?
He's talking about you.
No, I was thinking about Mother Teresa because she is being canonized. But I am also,
canonizing her.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa?
Yeah. I think that's a ripoff, man, because I'm not sure, because you have to have two miracles.
Mm-hmm. One of those was a card trick.
And one of them was the 67 Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not sure. But anyway, another lady that I've met in my life is the very talented and lovely multi-colored-haired Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you today?
You're quickly becoming quite the star in the podcast world.
Ain't nobody going to canonize this one over here.
No.
Maybe I should be.
Do they have like a, does the Satanists have their own, like...
Their own saints.
Yeah. Patron saints of Satan.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that, your folks?
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't know. Why would I know that?
Well, I did. You go to all the meetings. I thought
you
maybe
do,
it comes up.
Yeah, you do worship the dark prince.
I don't have time for meetings.
Does Satan have a Facebook page?
Mm-hmm. Probably. God does. I follow him.
Brandy liked it.
It's kind of awesome.
And, of course, we're also joined by the much loved, much admired, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the... Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Honorable's pushing it. Pushing it.
Well, you can ask your mother about the Colonel pushing it, but...
Gross.
I'd like to give you some...
That about your mother, but your mother is dead.
My mama died of cancer.
They got the cancer.
Oh, God, I'm so tired of hearing about that.
She was the one... Now, you talk about canonization. That's a woman that should be canonized.
Your mom?
My mama.
Yeah, she was a saint.
My mama was a saint. She was just one in a million, Timmy.
I'm sure she was.
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy. Apparently, the Star Wars movie came out today. Is that right? Last night?
Last night.
Or something?
Last night. We released our podcast on the Chicken Coop murders to compete with Star Wars.
So. And apparently we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Yeah, we are. We might not bring in $1 billion like they will, but, you know.
We're not in this for the money. We're in here to educate the listeners.
Obviously, since we don't generate any money.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I thought we were going to have a discussion about that after the show.
But well, can I ask you one thing, Colonel? How's our YouTube channel coming along?
You know what? It's coming along pretty good. Now I got
It is.
And I expect by next week it'll be up and running.
You have a computer at home?
Well, what the hell? Who in the hell in this country don't have a computer?
What I'm trying to do is establish where we're at. And I'm trying to get a timeline on your project.
This ain't West Virginia, for Christ's sake, where you got to go to the library to find a computer.
I'm trying to get a timeline on when we can expect this YouTube page to be up.
Well, I'm trying to get a timeline on when I can get a damn paycheck from you.
Once you start generating income, you're not generating any income.
Well, we would have some if we had a YouTube page.
Yes. So, all right, how's that going, Colonel?
It's going wonderfully, Timmy. I'm sorry I shared my nachos with you.
Continue. Do we have any shout-outs?
I got a few. There's a couple people who mentioned us on the Thinking Sideways group, and we appreciate that. Allie, Katrina, Brittany Nicole, and Nikki C. Big Nikki C. She part of the Gambino crew in New York. Nikki C, yeah. We didn't have people on our Facebook page. Now we have Tara O, she's from Ireland. She's a wee little lass. And she lives near the park where the Caesar sisters buried the victim's head.
Oh,
and possibly
cool.
The penis. Dig around there, see if you can come up with a penis for us, Tara.
We might not want her to do that.
No. Yeah, and
she invited us over for a cuppa.
Well, and you know, Irish people talk funny, so you don't really, you got to be careful when you say, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because they do crazy things, and they'll invite you along to do crazy things with them.
Yes.
So you got to be very careful.
She invited Brandy over for a drink, so she likes Brandy.
Well, see, that's the first red flag that flies in my head.
Who else we got a shout out for, Colonel?
We got Christy Lynn, who, loyal listener. We love Christy.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Robbins.
No, Anthony
Robbins. He's been watching the show.
No, he doesn't.
Listening to the show. Mary Ray, we appreciate. Brittany Nicole, I think we already mentioned her. Gene, you're quite funny. I would stay away from the devil. When the devil makes comments on the Facebook page, don't even respond to her. I mean, because then what happens is you get sucked into this vortex of evil.
Yeah.
And it's just a bad, bad thing.
And you're encouraging inappropriate behavior on Brady's part.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember when we got our Facebook page shut down for a week because the devil was posting topless pictures?
Yeah.
That was not
what?
Cool.
Mark Zuckerberg did not like it.
No.
Yeah.
Don't hate.
Okay, so thank you all of you for listening and your comments on Facebook and comments you may place on other websites because.
And we do owe somebody, I believe it was Brenita, we owe an 8x10 color glossy photo of the Colonel and his loyal dog Rudy.
Yes.
But she has yet to give us our address. When she gives us our address, that will be on its way.
We're getting a lot of requests for. I also want to give a shout out to Charles, who listens to all of our podcasts. He's a really nice guy. We're getting a lot of requests for photos of us, and we haven't intentionally not put a photo up, but because we can be found on Facebook, and you can probably find us pretty quickly with any research, but we just haven't done a team photo. We don't really feel the need to.
We're not really photogenic.
No, we're not.
We have faces for radio.
Yeah.
Now, if it would, it got to be, you know, but now the Colonel, you know, I'm a teetotaler now,
yeah.
Timmy. I like to live, I'm a straight edge purist. I'm a pure man.
I know that.
Body, spirit, all that pure.
You're pure.
But back in the day, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Colonel done knocked back a half bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
I give the devil some consideration. So I wouldn't say we're all photogenic, you know. And that wasn't so horrible. Me and you are not especially handsome men, but we have other traits and qualities that...
We have money.
And you?
Yeah.
No, Chuck doesn't.
Oh, well, my wife has some
actually,
money.
I don't have any money either. I just tell women that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You must. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. We'll figure something out about a photo. Some maybe do a caricature or something of us. Anyway, let's get on to today's story about serial killers Alton Coleman and his girlfriend Deborah Brown.
And I especially don't like these people because they kill right in our city, Tim.
Yes, some of their victims were here in Cincinnati, but they were spread. I mean, they did their dastardly deeds all over the Midwest. Alton Coleman, let's start with him. He was born in November of 1955 in Waukegan, Illinois. And if you're familiar with the Chicago area, you know that Waukegan is a suburb of Chicago. And he was born in a poor neighborhood. He was the bastard middle child of three boys and two girls. Is that a little harsh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the bastard middle child. Well, you won't feel bad later on when you find out what he's done. His mother first gave birth to him when she was only 14 years old. So she was a young mother. And according to police records, she was a known prostitute. So she was what we would call
a whore.
A whore. Yeah. She was tooting. She was tooting.
Tooting?
What?
Tooting.
Prostitute? Tooting?
Oh, because in my house that means farting.
To say she was a whore.
Yeah.
In our house, that means farting.
All right. Anyway, Alton's mother showed little or no interest in him when he was born.
Probably because he was an asshole.
Well, he was just born. I'm going to be an asshole with
birth.
They are.
All right.
He was a bastard.
Well, she showed little or no interest in him, and she shoved him off into her mother, Alma Hosey. Hosa.
Alma Hosey.
Alma. According to Alma, Coleman's mother threw him away just like you throw away garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That was a quote. I should have used that. I should have said quote unquote. Threw him away just like you throw away garbage. Anyway, in school, Alton earned the nickname of Pissy. Not because of his poor attitude, but because he seemed to have a tendency to wet his pants quite often.
Every kid's got one of those. Every school got one of those kids that want to piss on themselves all the time.
Well, apparently, young Alton was that student. And did you guys have any problems with pissing on yourself?
No.
I mean, as a child or an adult?
Well, as an adult, that's different. But somehow, you know, I mean, I didn't piss on myself when I was in school.
Did you wet to bed?
No.
Did you set fires? Was you cruel to animals?
Yeah,
she got the triad. Yeah.
I don't think I set fires.
Wait, now I'm
you're mean to animals?
I don't know. No. I don't know if I set any fires. I don't believe I was.
You were mean to humans.
Yeah, you are mean to humans.
Well,
I was in the fifth grade, Timmy. I'm in the fifth grade.
You peed your pants?
Nope.
Damn it.
Sitting behind me as a kid, he's just an unruly child.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he might have been a bastard too. Named Dean Bocock.
Really?
Dean Bocock?
That was his real name, Dean Bocock.
Yeah. Sounds French.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could imagine that he took... now, Dean had a little bit of a nasty disposition. He was like, you know...
Because he had cock in
his tea bass or whatever. Uh-huh. So you didn't really want to mess with Dean too much about the name. But Dean had to go to the bathroom. And Dean was a known rabble-rouser. He didn't, you know, so...
So he was badass?
He wasn't a badass. He was just
troublemaker.
He just didn't want to fool with him, troublemaker. Yeah. And so he raised his hand, said, "Miss Shackelford, I need to go to the bathroom."
She was like, what was her name?
Mrs. Shackelford. She was my fifth grade teacher.
Good. Okay, good.
And Miss Shackelford said, "No, Dean, you can't go to the bathroom."
Mm-hmm.
Because Dean had been asking to sharpen his pencil, get a drink of water, do this, do that. All morning, just aggravating.
He's a malcontent.
He was a malcontent.
A ne'er-do-well, if you will.
Dean whipped his tallywack out right in his seat and pissed on the floor.
But next time she said yes.
Right, she did say yes the next time. We didn't see Dean for about 3 weeks in school.
There you go. He's in solid. He was a code 12.
Yeah, he's a
Once you pull your wiener out in class, there's really no going back.
You know, they're probably more strict on that now than they were back in the day.
I believe now they got a zero tolerance.
For zero wiener tolerance?
Zero wiener tolerance policy, yeah.
I'm sure they do. Okay, anyway, back to young Alton, or Pissy, as he's known by his classmates. Pissy, Coleman eventually dropped out of school. That's a surprise. Dropped out of grade school.
There you go.
Well, he could see the track that he was on. He's like, why bother? Yeah, you know, third grade, I've got enough. Anyway, he began working part-time in a kitchen in a local veterans hospital. So, he's doing something productive.
Mm-hmm.
As he grew up, he got a new nickname on the street, and that was Big Al. Big Al.
Big Al. Now, see, they call me Big Hawk sometimes.
They don't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is related to his tallywhacker or not, but they called him Big Al. And he was known to carry a knife and to have a very bad temper. Not a good combination.
Yeah.
He often ran with gangs in the Waukegan area. And he was just, you know, he just had a really nasty
disposition.
Disposition, yeah. He had quickly accumulated numerous arrests under his belt, most dealing with sexual-related crimes.
Ew.
So he was a dirty bastard.
Well, he was.
ODB.
Yeah, he was a dirty, pissy bastard.
Dirty, pissy bastard. Ain't nothing worse than somebody groping you to dump pissed all over yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So in 1973, Alton, or Pissy, was charged with the robbery, kidnapping. You find robbery and kidnapping funny, do you?
No.
No. Did you want to let the pissy go?
I know.
Dad God, you were that guy.
Yeah. Pissy was charged with robbery, kidnapping, and rape of an unidentified elderly Waukegan woman. I don't know why she was unidentified, but she was. He quickly plea bargained and received a two to six year sentence for robbery, and he was placed in the Joliet State Prison. Now, Colonel, isn't the Joliet State Prison, isn't that where the Blues Brothers were?
The Joliet State Prison. Yeah. It was the Blues Brothers, yeah.
Yeah. So he was in Joliet. While serving time there, he was accused of numerous times of molesting other inmates.
That shit ain't cool.
Well, prisoners don't like that.
Especially, they don't like it, and you know what? You don't want to be on the bunk below Pissy.
No. You don't want to even be in the same cell.
Well, yeah.
You sure don't want to be in the showers with Pissy.
No, Pissy peeing on you, he's sodomizing you, he's doing all kinds
of things. Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. So, a psychiatric profile of young Pissy identified him not as homosexual, not as heterosexual, not as bisexual, but as pansexual. Willing to have intercourse with any object, man, woman, or child.
There you go.
Well, that would be pretty much you, Timmy.
No. I have some.
See, I thought you know what I thought pansexual was?
Having sex in Panama?
When they say
having sex on a pan.
No, when they say like Pan-American.
Yeah.
I thought pansexual meant just like, okay, I like Colombian, I like Latino.
You thought it was like the Pan American Games.
Right, yeah. Right. I thought pansexual meant that.
Well, apparently not. So he will just have any sex, apparently anything, any person, any object. He'd probably have sex with a refrigerator or whatever. Okay.
Weird.
So once free on parole, Pissy waited no time getting arrested again for rape on two separate occasions in the early 1980s. Although both times he was acquitted when the jury believed his victims had consented to sex. Yeah, because everyone's dying to have sex with Pissy.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe if he quit pissing himself.
I don't know. Maybe he was Big Al then. I don't know. But anyway, Pissy married a young teenage girl. However, their marriage did not last very long. They had some difficulties.
Shocked.
Most young couples do.
Shocking.
Yeah. They were trying to work through them, but after 6 months, his new bride left him and arranged for police protection while she moved out her belongings. She later stated that she could no longer take Pissy's fascination with bondage, young girls, and violent sex. So
You sound like a quitter, Mrs. Pissy. You could have hung
Nobody
it
likes
out
a quitter.
Does marriage is marriage like, not sacred at all to you, Miss Pissy?
I would like for you to meet my husband. His name is Pissy. Okay.
Children can be cruel.
Now ex-husband. I bet when she was introducing him to her girlfriends when they were married, it was Big Al. And as soon as they got divorced,
he was Pissy again.
She started calling him Pissy. Okay. So in the summer of 1983, when I was 22 years old, Pissy was charged with taking indecent liberties with a child, which was his own niece.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, not cool at all.
That, you know what that called for? The Colonel Justice.
Colonel Justice, you got that right. However, the charges were quickly dropped when the child's mother changed her story and claimed that the accusations were false. Now, apparently she was terrified of Pissy Coleman, and that's why she changed her mind. Despite all of these trials and tribulations that young Mr. Coleman was going through, he would soon find love. And that would be in the person of one Deborah Denise Brown. At age 21, Deborah Brown ended her engagement to be married, left her family, and joined Alton Pissy Coleman, a sadistic rapist and murderer. During the summer of 1984, in what her attorneys described as a slave-master relationship, I'm sure you're very familiar with that, Colonel.
Well, yeah, I'm not an expert by any means, but
you've done some role play. You've done some, you've done some 50 grades of shade. 50
grades of shade?
50 shades of Colonel. Yeah. 50 shades of the Colonel.
50 shades of the. How about you, Brandy? Tell us about your Fed life.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, share. Just one little fetish or role play that you've done in your life.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But thanks for asking.
Just tell us about the time you dressed up like a nurse. For Dave.
Yeah. Tell us about the cat o' nine tails that you have in your possession.
I'm not going to talk about that. I know, right?
Let's say if you were, okay? Let's say we're doing one of those what-ifs.
Yeah.
If you were to be in that type of relationship.
Hypothetically,
what particular role would you play?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you know she'd be the master.
We're not doing
she'd
that.
She'd dominatrix.
She come out
Mistress
with that big
Brandy.
Leather hood on her face. Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Ball gag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't talk about my part-time work.
Okay, so those of you who are interested in hiring a dominatrix, contact Miss Brandy.
I believe she
Mistress Brandy.
I believe she got her own podcast for that, too.
Yeah, she's not telling
us. It's a live feed.
Yeah, you can't. Because you can get hurt. You do that stuff wrong to me.
You know what you need to do? Be a financial dom, where they just pay you to like cuss them out or whatever, send you.
Oh
you
yeah,
I could do that.
You'd be good at that.
I really would.
Yeah, that's.
I'm a bit of an artist when it comes to obscenity.
That's the career path you should be on.
A bit of an artist when it comes to obscenity.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to brag.
Okay, back to Deborah Denise Brown. So Deborah Denise Brown meets up with Pissy Coleman, Alton Pissy Coleman.
Now, did they call Deborah Brown Shardy?
Shardy?
I don't know. She was short, though.
She's
gassy. Weak. Not short.
No, I said she was short, though. Okay,
I'm talking about Sharton.
I know, but I said she's short. All right. Anyway, during the summer of 1984, I already said that. What her attorney... It sounds better even the second time around. See, you're confusing me. And what her attorneys described as a slave-master relationship...
Yeah, bullshit.
The two went on a rape and killing spree in Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Basically the Big Ten conference.
They didn't have enough...
All right?
They didn't have enough money for Disneyland.
Yeah, I guess not. They didn't. They kind of stayed in the... They mostly targeted, they were African American, and they targeted other African Americans. They would befriend strangers, then assault them after they defriended, because it's hard to befriend them after you've assaulted them.
It makes it more tricky.
Yeah, and sometimes raping and murdering them. It's even harder then. It's harder to mend fences after you assault
and
rape
them. Well, and you only have a
narrow
window between the time you rape them and murder them to befriend them.
Yeah. So, especially if you're being pissy. So, not only did their victims include adults, which would be bad enough, but they also included children and the elderly. So they're gonna have to have some of the criminal justice before this is all said and done. But let's go on and have Brandy tell us their dastardly deeds.
So soon after the summer of 1983 incident, Alton was accused of raping a 14-year-old Waukegan girl at knife point. He also became a suspect in the rape and murder of 15-year-old Gina Frazier. The reduction of bail in the Waukegan case put him on the streets to launch a homicidal rampage almost beyond belief and put him on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yeah, he kind of went...
So they let him out on bail.
Yeah, good move there. He, most of their murders occurred in a very short period of time.
Yes. Like 2 months. I don't remember these. I remember they came into Ohio and we weren't allowed to play outside.
Yeah.
Because while you were 20-some years old, I was in like third grade.
Well, one of the families they killed, you'll get into that, is named Walters.
Well, I'm sure they were related to you somehow because death follows you.
They were from Norwood. I could tell you the whole story, but I'll let you go ahead and do it.
I appreciate that. So he, surprise, surprise, Alton jumps bail. You wouldn't expect somebody named Pissy to do that.
No, you'd think Pissy would be an honorable man.
You would think so. So he jumps bail and he flees with his new girlfriend, Deborah Denise Brown.
Bet she was hot.
Yeah. And he met her at a Waukegan bar. She was not hot. Dude, there was nobody home.
I know.
Oh, she was just a hot mess.
She was dirt ugly.
But eventually, they decide they're going to settle down in Gary, Indiana, home to Michael Jackson.
Yes, the Jackson 5.
Yes.
All the Jacksons, not just Michael.
Well, Tito.
Don't leave out Tito.
I cannot leave out Tito.
I don't believe Jerome.
Jermaine.
I believe he was born somewhere else.
No, you don't.
Was adopted.
You don't believe that.
What about, what's the girl's name?
Janet LaToya.
Yeah.
She is actually Michael Jackson. You never see them together. They look just alike, and you never see them together.
Yeah, Michael's dead, so.
Is he?
Tough, though.
Is he?
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, go ahead. Let's get back to
So on May 29th of 1984, 9-year-old Vernita Wheat disappeared after her mother let her accompany one Robert Knight, in quotes, to Waukegan from her Kenosha, Wisconsin home to retrieve a stereo system. What is he doing? If he's in Gary, Indiana, what's he doing up in
Kenosha? He's all over
Kenosha.
The place, too. He's still in cars. They're still in cars. They're all over the place.
You know these serial killers are mobile people.
Yeah,
they are. A photo lineup quickly identified him, Robert Knight, as Alton Coleman.
He lied.
Pissy,
you can't trust Pissy.
You cannot
take word from Pissy.
No. On June 18, 1984, Alton and Deborah abducted 7-year-old Tamika Turks and her 9-year-old aunt while walking near their home in Gary, Indiana.
I don't know how that works. So she's older than her aunt?
No.
Okay.
She's 7.
Okay.
And her aunt is 9.
They don't seem to be much age difference between the two.
Well, that is correct.
Well, you got a big gap between
Look
age
at you, mathematician.
Between, yeah.
That's why.
And sister, there's...
Look at you.
I just like when there's your traditional uncle, aunt, and niece, nephew.
Right.
Where they're not, you know, basically the same age group.
I know. It throws me off, too. But they were walking back.
Because sometimes you have it where the niece or nephew is older, right?
Huh?
You could have a situation
it's
where...
It's possible. Yeah. What the hell is your fascination with this?
I'm a traditionalist. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, that's what you are.
You're from... What are you from? Chillicothe or some shit? Yeah,
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, where your uncle can be your cousin and your brother and everything else down there?
Wow.
That's hurtful, Dottie. Dottie.
Sorry, Dottie. I did not mean that.
No.
But you did.
Anyway, but the people down in Portsmouth are a little peculiar.
You're a little peculiar.
They're from Ohio, and they're too damn close to West Virginia.
I know.
And they give all us Buckeyes a bad name.
We're going to focus, though, for a second.
Yeah, let's focus on Pissy instead of Tim.
We're going to focus on Pissy, this Pissy instead of that Pissy.
That Pissy, yeah.
So they were walking back from a candy store. They were going home from a candy store, and they were confronted by Miss Brown and Pissy. And they convinced the girls to walk into the woods to play a game. Coleman and Brown took the two young children to a secluded wooded area. Alton placed his hand over Tamika's mouth as she started to struggle.
That doesn't sound like a very fun game to me.
No, well, it doesn't.
Once there, they removed Tamika's shirt and tore it into small strips, which they used to bind and gag the children. Ugh. When Tamika began to cry, Brown held her nose and mouth while Coleman stomped on her chest.
Jesus, sweet Lord.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Dude, I'm so glad you gave me this part.
Yeah.
After carrying Tamika a short distance away, Annie was forced to perform oral sex on both
Brown. Holy Christ! We can't skip over some of this and just say they did.
No, because it goes to the just how sick these people were.
These were some depraved some bitches.
Yeah.
Perform oral sex on both Brown and Coleman, then Coleman raped her.
Ugh.
They then choked her until she was unconscious. When she awoke, they were gone. Tamika was found dead in the bushes nearby, strangled with an elastic strip of bed sheet. The same fabric was later found in the apartment shared by Coleman and Brown. Angered by the young girl's resistance, Coleman began to viciously stomp her face and chest with his feet.
So it's not
just... What resistance? He choked her down and...
It's not just...
Well, but Tamika.
Yeah, but I mean, it was not just, raping him and even killing him. It's doing it... I mean, there's so much...
Stomping on the anger chest to death?
Evidence of a remarkably similar murder in Ohio was admitted at trial. These acts proved to be part of a Midwestern crime spree by Coleman and Brown that included up to 8 murders, 7 rapes, 3 kidnappings, and 14 armed robberies. Let's see. Annie received cuts so deep that her intestines were protruding into her vagina.
Oh.
Afterwards, he strangled her and left her for dead. Unbeknownst to Brown and Coleman, the younger girl only blacked out when she awakened. She stumbled out of the woods and was discovered by a local man. She was immediately taken to a local hospital where she was treated for her severe injuries. And she was very, very lucky.
Very lucky to survive, but I mean, man.
Well, she's traumatized. She's damaged for life.
Yeah, not only physically, but emotionally.
They launched a search for Tamika, and on June 19th of 1984, her body was found in a swampy area of the woods. The same day, the decomposing remains of Vernita Wheat were discovered in Waukegan in an abandoned building. During this time, the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit in Quantico began to prepare a profile on Alton Coleman to assist police in their search. The same day those bodies were found, 25-year-old Donna Williams disappeared after last being seen with a nice couple from Boston. On June 24th, 1984, Coleman and Brown accosted a Detroit woman at knife point and demanded that she drive them to Ohio. She amazingly was able to save herself by intentionally smashing into a truck and fleeing on foot.
She's smart. Smart lady.
Mm-hmm.
The couple quickly fled in her damaged vehicle, so they just took off in it. On June 27, 1984, the stolen 1976 model car was found abandoned in a southwest Detroit alley. On June 28, 1984, Coleman and Brown invaded the Dearborn Heights suburb home of 62-year-old Palmer Jones and his 50-year-old wife, Maggie. They were beaten mercilessly with a club and robbed of $86 in their late model automobile.
And see, now, why don't you just take the money, take the car, and leave the elderly couple alone.
On June 30th of that year, Coleman and Brown carjacked 2 men. And why are they going through cars like toilet paper? That's what I don't understand.
I guess
you got to switch cars when you're stealing them.
Yeah, I guess.
On June 30th, Coleman and Brown carjacked 2 men at gunpoint, throwing one, he was an invalid, out of the moving car. The other man...
That's fucked up. You're taking a cripple... Somebody who already crippled up and tossing him out of a moving car.
He probably didn't show him his handicap sticker. Because I'm sure they would have took that into consideration.
Well, they seem to be those kind of people.
Poor bastard can't even tuck and roll. I mean, he just got to take it.
No, Bessie, no.
Got to take it face first on the concrete. What kind of fucked up animals are these?
I don't know.
We're not laughing at the victim.
We're not laughing at the victim. It's just
It's just absurd.
You're crippled. You got yourself a van.
I have this whole vision of them releasing him in his wheelchair. Just
he's like rolling, roll behind the car.
He rolls behind him for a little while.
Aww. I got a vision that he don't even get hit. They don't even let him keep the wheelchair.
Well,
they just toss him and he hits like a sack of cement on the concrete.
But in their defense, this was before the ADA Act.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That'd be a hate crime today.
Yeah.
Do you know that word?
Mm-hmm. Harangue.
Is that what that harangue is? A harangue?
It's like lemon harangue pie.
Okay.
Air
well, then that makes sense in the context. Yeah. Then. Okay. So on July 2nd of 84, another Detroit couple was attacked in their home. They were savagely beaten with a pipe and subjected to an incoherent harangue.
Mm-hmm. Are you questioning my script writing ability?
I've questioned that several times. Yeah.
All right, man.
Speaking of incoherent,
it's on now.
I know.
It's on now.
He screamed at him about how blacks were forcing him to kill blacks.
Black on black crime.
Well, it's a problem.
He obviously didn't know that Black Lives Matter.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And here's a funny thing.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying.
This is
before that movement.
In the Black Cripples Matter, I mean, we got to start another movement.
But they robbed them of $100 and took their car.
And here's a peculiar thing about them is that, you know, you hear these home invasion things.
Yeah.
Now, these, and when he came to Cincinnati, it was a white couple, but he wasn't doing no raping then. He's just going to beat the hell out of people.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you got when you get there. If you got some old broad, you probably...
But he had raped old women before.
Yeah, I don't know. No figuring Pissy out.
No. Pissy's a loose cannon.
Pissy was a wild card, Jimmy.
Loose cannon. Card. So him and Brown then drove to Toodly-Doo, where they...
Toledo?
Yes. Okay. Toledo, okay.
Where they handcuffed and assaulted another couple in their home and stole their car. Seems to be a pattern. Shortly thereafter, Coleman and a Toledo bartender exchanged shots when Coleman tried to abduct one of the bar's patrons.
Wow, good for him.
Poor Otis.
I mean, good for the bartender.
I'm sorry.
It looks like a bar in here.
Poor Otis sitting there at the bar.
Yeah, come with me. Yeah.
The bartender's like, he ain't paid his tab, he ain't going nowhere.
Right. So they made their way south. And about this time in Cincinnati, the mother of 15-year-old Tony Story reported that her daughter was missing. On July 7th of 84, Coleman and Brown spent the night with 30-year-old Virginia Temple and her 10-year-old daughter, Rochelle. The mother and daughter were soon to be raped and murdered, and their bodies were later discovered stuffed in a crawl space.
Another black couple.
It doesn't say.
No, they were another black couple.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, in my script, it doesn't say.
No, because here's... And the reason I tie this in, there was some kind of... Of all the people they killed and did whatever to, he only raped black people. And there's a... When the FBI Quantico got into this, it's very much like the... Because it's very... statistically, it's an oddity for black people to be serial killers. It's not... You know, they're
it's
not represented.
Kind of a white thing.
Yeah.
But... I had a Walter Williams from Atlanta.
And that's what I mean. And yeah. When the FBI, when Quantico was doing their investigation on that... They came up with, you know, they always come up with white male in their 30s, but yeah. They came up with a black guy. for Wayne Williams down in Atlanta, Wayne just like Williams, they came up with a black guy here because the victims were all black.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, it kind of makes sense since you're going to be living in that that community.
Well, and that's what they said. Well, Wayne Williams is that a white man in that community would have stood out too much. They would have noticed it. But with this crazy son of a bitch, he was all over the place.
Well, he was pissing.
Well, he was busy.
On July 11th of 84, the decomposing corpse of Donna Williams was discovered, and it was soon apparent that she'd been strangled to death with a pair of pantyhose.
Was it her own pantyhose?
Doesn't say.
It's
a regular old pair of legs.
Okay. I used to like legs. They come in there, the little eggs.
Yeah.
I like when they still have make little elephant things.
Yeah. Okay.
Do they come in the egg thing?
Yeah. Well, they did. I remember
when a little kid used to say, "Look, mommy, it's an elephant." When she pointed to the woman whose stockings were falling down.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that commercial?
You're a weirdo. Okay,
look that up, listeners.
So Alton Coleman's now on the 10 most wanted list.
Yeah, he got on there pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. He made quite an impression.
Yeah, with a bullet.
On July 13th, 1984, Marlene Walters became the first white victim. She was bludgeoned to death in her Norwood, Ohio home.
Any relation, Chuck?
Not at all, but I remember it very clearly. And my lovely bride knew, my lovely bride was living in Norwood at that time. And it's a very small community here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood.
And believe she knew the family. And this was terrifying when this
happened.
Because it was so random and it was so
scary. And they could be anywhere.
I mean, she was beaten so savagely. Marlene Walters was just beaten so savagely.
I didn't move to Cincinnati until 86, but I remember when the trial and everything was.
Sixth grade.
Yeah. I was 25, but I remember the trial, but I don't remember when the
I had just what month did you move here, Timmy?
Maybe it's like July, August. I was going to school.
That was when I was getting married to the missus.
Good Lord. All right. So her husband, Harry, somehow survived the attack. He was beaten pretty savagely. And he survived the attack and identified Coleman and Brown as the killers. On July 16th, 1984, 45-year-old Olean Carmichael Jr., a Lexington Political Science College professor, was walking to his vehicle when the killer couple abducted him. So they were in Cincinnati, then they went down to Lexington, then they drove his car to Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Lexington is about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And Dayton is about 45 minutes to an hour from Cincinnati.
Yeah, north.
North, yeah, different direction.
So they drove his car to Dayton and locked him in the trunk, and they... he was found unharmed a couple hours later.
Now that shit's just rude.
No, and I would protest because I would tell them that I'm a little bit claustrophobic and I would not want to be.
Well,
now
they got the trunk release things. I don't know if criminals know that, but you can't lock somebody in a trunk.
Definitely, next time you're kidnapped,
yeah,
let them know so they can make you as comfortable as possible. Because your comfort is the utmost concern.
I might have a panic attack for
them. Now the colonel kidnapped a few times. And
you have
what I have found.
Why do they keep bringing you back?
Is that the colonel escaped? I'm a slithery little guy.
He's a ninja.
So I am ninja like. And what you do is you say, "Look here, kidnapper. I know we got to do this.
Well, you probably in that situation you wouldn't call him pissy.
No, and I know it's nothing personal.
You go by his proper name.
So how about you keep the duct tape? You don't put it on too tight. I ain't going nowhere.
Keep the chloroform.
I'ma sit in the back seat. I ain't going to cause no problem.
Chloroform's some good shit.
Don't throw me in the trunk.
Don't put no chloroform on me. Just talk to me a little bit. I'll fall asleep. Let me watch you on TV.
Pretty much,
Now, if you're in the back of a car, I mean, I can't go 2 miles being a passenger in a car without falling asleep.
Snoring.
So, yeah, it's all in how you approach the kidnapper.
Well, so later that same day, an elderly minister and his wife were found battered in their Dayton home.
A man of God.
But they lived.
Still, that's like stabbing the Pope.
Yeah, it's
the minister's stolen station wagon was later recovered at a car wash in Indianapolis.
Did he wash the car?
I don't know.
Before they returned it?
Let's see. We're 77-year-old. Okay, so they're in Indianapolis, and now 77-year-old Eugene Scott and his car are missing.
Any relation?
No.
None to me either.
Yeah, oh. Scott Nuwalta is in, yeah. His, in yeah. His group.
Victims. Was, victims. Yeah. We're all victims.
We're all victims so, of this.
Dude, they're every fraggin' where.
And they apparently didn't know about
it. They don't apparently have any kind of destination or where they're going.
Plan. They're just milling about the, you know, tri-state area.
Yeah, here. No real plan.
Police, Sue found him dead in a ditch near Zionsville. His hands had been slashed with a knife, and he'd been shot four times in the head with a .38 caliber.
Four times in the head, really? You could have survived one shot
now,
in the head.
Now, let me tell you something about Zionsville. All right. Now, this kills me.
Tell me something about
Zionsville.
This kills
me every time I go
Why
to
not?
Chicago.
Okay.
Tell every us. Time I go to
Is
Chicago.
That in Indiana?
Huh?
Is Zionsville in Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not far outside of Indianapolis, and you're driving up to Chicago.
Let me just say, if you're going to Indianapolis, Brad's Gold Club, best strip club in the whole state. Go ahead.
Brad, Excellent. Thank you. So you're going up to, first time I was like, what the hell? Because you're going to Chicago on 65. The first exit you see is Zionsville. You're like, well, that seemed a little insensitive. You know, I wonder if the... What the football team called. And then, I ain't lying, Zionsville, I mean...
Yeah, right. It's
gives you some Jewish kind of... Yeah. So the next town I see, the next exit I see, I am not lying to you, is Brownsville. Timmy, you can... this is true. Look it up on the maps, listeners. Then the next exit you see is Whitestown. It's like...
So you're implying there's some segregation going on in Indiana.
Yeah, no, I'm not making this up. I got pictures of it to prove it. You go to Zionsville, then you got Brownsville, then you got Whitestown. Huh?
Well,
I had to take photos. It was so fascinating. I see the sign that says Zionsville 3 miles, Brownsville 8 miles, Whitestown 10 miles. I'm like, what the hell?
So back in Waukegan.
They're going to have Mexicanville or whatever, you know, Pollock Town. I don't know what they're going to do, but...
Okay.
It just didn't seem kosher to me.
But please continue.
So back in Waukegan, Coleman's 72-year-old grandmother issued a tape-recorded appeal. Alton, please, in Jesus' name, for God's sake, give yourself up so you can go and get well.
Then he went to our house and raped her.
Oh, please. Wait a minute. So, go ahead, continue.
Please, you're killing me. I'm worried to death.
So it was all about her, basically.
Yeah, really. I mean, well, she ain't the one going to prison.
He clearly doesn't care about himself.
Well, she didn't call him pissy anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so on July 18th of 1984 in Cincinnati, the partially nude, decomposing corpse of 15-year-old Tony Story was found. She'd been raped, brutally stabbed, and shot twice in the head.
This guy is a dick.
Well, and little Miss Tagalong behind him, yeah. Like, okay, well, yeah. Okay.
She's a dickette.
Well, they made their way all
a vagina.
Over the... And she now, is. Remember, he's on the top 10 wanted list.
Right.
So he gets back to Evanston, Illinois, which I spent a fair amount of time in, mm-hmm. with the boys being in college up there. He walking across the street. You know, like nothing happening. He on the FBI most wanted list. Now, remember, he's from Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah, so he's
so this
from
kind
the
of
area.
His hometown. Now, someone from his old neighborhood pulls up to a red light. Here come Coleman and Brown just crossing the street. Like, hey, nary a prayer and worry in the world. So he knew Coleman. So is he the witness?
Honk?
No, hey. The witness drove right to the gas station, called the police. Information got called. The police got called. They pulled into the area, and
oh, I bet they were all over that.
Mm-hmm. They were sitting on the bleachers in an empty park, and the detective said, "You know, hey, come with us." And then they surrounded them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a bunch of policemen at the park. Brown tried to leave the park, but they stopped her.
She kind of tried to walk off like she wasn't...
Yeah, like, oh, nothing to see here. I'm just going to be...
You must be looking for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what, Pissy, I think this is where we part ways. We've been having some problems, you know. Yeah. I want to think things through.
Yeah. It's time to move on. Turn
but
the page.
She had a gun in her purse. Coleman had no ID and denied he was even out in Coleman, but they were taken into custody. And the Evanston Police Department, which... is a very vigilant, I can tell you, police department because
from your own personal ticket.
From my own personal experience, the colonel's up in Evanston.
Mm-hmm.
He's staying at a hotel, nice hotel.
Yeah.
Right by the Evanston Police Station.
Right.
Very, very nice. Beautiful, beautiful park where I'm at. I get up at 6:30 in the morning, a beautiful summer day. I'm letting the dog run through the park.
Rudy.
All of a sudden, I'm approached by not a police officer, not two police officers, but three police officers who say, "Sir, you cannot have a dog running free in the park."
Well, yeah, there are rules, Colonel, even for you.
I do understand, and I said, "Officer, I understand you have rules here, but does this warrant three officers being here?" And you know what the officer said to me?
No, what did he say?
He said, "We got a call of a large, scary, vicious dog running about the park." Yeah.
Rudy.
Running about the park free.
Rudy.
And we had to come out and investigate. I said, "Well, officers, I sincerely apologize." Because in this park...
Now, did they know your stature? Did they know who you were?
They did not even... And I said, "What the hell kind of city you have that..."
Oh,
I said, I'll get him on a leash and whatever. And he said, "Well, the problem is we don't allow dogs in this park." I was like, "What the hell kind of park you have? What kind of city you have that you don't allow dogs in the park?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "You keeping the squirrels out too? I mean, what you know what I mean?
Right.
You keeping the birds out? What you doing?" So the officers, that was very nice. And they was a little irritated by this whole call anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Well, I will get him on his leash and I will get him out of here." And the officer looks at me and says, "Sir, I do not care what you do." He said, "I got a call of a large, fierce dog running free about the park. I had to come and investigate it. Now, if I am to leave here in 15 minutes from now, get another call about a large, fierce dog running in this park, I will know that it is your dog and I will ignore that call." So they let Rudy run. Because Rudy come running up to him, they get,
right.
Naturally they fall in love with the dog, and they're like, "You take over the whole park."
Right.
So anyway, it's the Evanston Police. They're very, very fine police department. So they were taken into custody. Coleman says, "Oh, that wasn't even me." They strip search him, of course, and they find a steak knife in between two pair of sweat socks he's wearing. Now, who wears two pair of sweat socks?
Well, probably because he don't want the blade to cut into his...
No, because he's still pissy and it's got to absorb the stuff running down his leg.
Might be it.
So, now, when they got taken into custody, they had a shopping bag full of different T-shirts and caps. Learned that the pair stopped every three or four blocks as they walked and changed shirts and caps.
Sure.
Man. Now, that's not suspicious behavior.
Well, not only is it suspicious, but, you know, that's a lot of laundry.
Yeah. Well, police discovered some bloodstained knives, a .38 caliber snub revolver on the couple. I mean, there was a walking armory.
I don't think they thought anything through at all.
No. Now, a week after they get arrested here, more than 50 law enforcement officials from Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio met to plan a strategy for prosecuting Coleman and Brown because
they got dead bodies strung all across the Midwest.
And in the thing that we didn't cover in that in the Walters thing,
mm-hmm.
The way that they got into the house is Walters had a small pop up camper for sale,
mm-hmm.
and they had it out in their driveway on the curb,
mm-hmm.
and they had it on the curb there. And they knocked on the door saying they were interested in the camper. And so they invited him into the home. And
mm-hmm.
Aside from stabbing, Coleman had this ugly habit of beating people with a pipe. So all of these people that got beat to death with pipes, it was kind of like on Home Alone. Don't forget, we're the wet bandits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was the pipe beater.
Mm-hmm.
So all these law enforcement people know that they probably got something here. And and U.S. Attorney Dan Webb said, we are convinced the prosecution in Ohio can most quickly and likely result in the swiftest imposition of the death penalty against Dalton Coleman and Deborah Brown. So they decided to try him in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The manhunt was over. The couple, they suspected of at least 8 murders, tons of abductions, a bunch of sexual assaults, random beatings, theft, and all kinds of stuff, whatnot. I mean, it was just... a two-person, and she was really borderline retarded.
She really was.
Yeah, she was.
She was.
And it really, that's what saves her life, but I don't want to.
So when the trials, before the trial began, they signed legal documents entering him into a common law marriage. Now, during separate trials, and the strongest case they had was the one here in Cincinnati. Both Coleman and Brown were convicted of first-degree murder in the death of Marlene Walters in Norwood. So Coleman got the death penalty. He was sentenced to die, and Deborah was sentenced to life in prison. Now, the jury, this is what they couldn't believe. The jury, in the penalty phase, Brown took the stand and insisted that she alone had killed Mrs. Walters.
Yeah, she wanted credit.
She wanted credit. And this is what she said. I killed the bitch and I don't give a damn. I had fun out of it. Now, she another one. Usually the Colonel Justice named it a man.
Yeah.
I give her the Colonel Justice, too.
What would you do with her?
You know what I think I'd do to her first, Timmy? I think what I'd do, I'd tie her to a tree, cover her genitalia with honey.
Uh-huh.
It had to be in the summertime.
Like a Pooh Bear?
Like a Pooh Bear. Let the insects get to it, gnaw on it. Nah, nah, nah.
Right.
Then eventually she's going to get some open wounds there. Then the bear's going to come after her. First the foxes and the rats and the varmints, they're going to pick at her. Then the buzzard's going to come down. Okay, the buzzard's going to come down, and they're going to start picking because they go after the soft flesh first. So they're going to pluck her eyes out. She won't be able to see all this, but she'll still be alive to feel it.
Okay, I'm sorry I asked. Continue, Colonel.
Okay, well, you asked about Colonel Justice.
I know. My bad.
Yeah, it was.
But regardless of her confession, her lover, Pissy, was sentenced to death.
Aww.
Now, we also have Tani's story. Now, she's a girl, younger 15-year-old girl here in Cincinnati. They were both convicted and sentenced to death on that one. So Brown did get the death penalty. During the trial, Coleman boasted that if he had not been so mentally exhausted when arrested, that he would easily have killed the officers. It's hard to believe that somebody named Pissy going to take on.
I think Pissy takes on kids and elderly people and handicapped people. That's what Pissy does.
Now, the next trial took place in Indiana, where the couple were both sentenced to death for the murder of Tamika Turk. But the reason they did Ohio was because, you know, we don't tend to mess around with. We're not quite like Texas, but we tend to not screw around with the death penalty. You wait on death row for a certain amount of time, and you're going to get the death penalty. Mm-hmm. It ain't like California where you got 30 years and you probably ain't ever going to get it. You get the death penalty, and one of the things listeners may not know is that when you take counties in the country, there are only three counties, and they're all in Texas, that have a higher death penalty rate than we do in Hamilton County.
In Hamilton County. In
Cincinnati. If you commit a murder in Cincinnati, the prosecutors will, anytime they can, go after the death penalty on you. Mm-hmm. And they win most of the time. So anyway, now we're back in Waukegan. Coleman gets sentenced to death again by lethal injection for the murder of Anita Wheat. And during that trial, Coleman told the jurors, I don't want mercy. I'm a dead man. I'm dead already. You're talking to a dead man, not a live man. Well, you're talking to Pissy is who you're talking to, you little cowardly bastard. But and he need Colonel Justice, too.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I think with him, you know what I think I'd do with him first?
Sodomize him?
No. You know what? I would duct tape his hands and legs together. Or his hands together, his ankles together, mm-hmm. his wrists together, and then I toss him out of a moving van.
And then go back, pick him up, and do it again.
Go back and pick him up.
Good.
It's like, this is what you did to that poor bastard. Did I beat him with a pipe some? Maybe, I don't know, stab him a little bit. Wouldn't stab him too deep. I mean, I just stab him like in the
just
thighs.
Just a little bit stabby.
Stab him in the ass cheeks, because that stuff hurts, man. Stab him in the toes. Give him a bunch of paper cuts. Poke him in the eye real good.
Paper cuts.
It's
a bitch.
You know what I do? I give him paper cuts and make him wash his hands all the time. Paper cuts all over his fingers.
And eat French fries.
Eat French fries. Yeah, McDonald's French fries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go back to the shoving the red hot poker up his ass.
Right, right. That's my standby. Yeah,
you stand. Shove a red hot poker up his ass. So anyway, prosecutors believe that Coleman was the only man in the United States under four separate death sentences at one time.
Well, you got that to be proud of.
Yeah, now, there were no plans to prosecute Coleman or Brown in the remaining deaths in the Midwest murder spree because they had all that.
And I understand that because of the expense and all that, but you feel bad for those people who died and really got no justice. I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There is no closure for them.
Now, in June of 1997, Deborah Brown does something really weird. She's at the Ohio Reformatory for Women in Marysville, Ohio. She launches this campaign to try to overturn her death sentence in Indiana, where she's the only female among 51 death penalty, or, 51 people under active death sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Alton, he meets his match and meets Baker. His fate in April 26, 2002, at the Southern Ohio Correction Facility in Lucasville, Ohio.
Right outside my hometown of Portsmouth.
Yep, they gave him the lethal injection there. Reginald Wilkerson, wasn't Reginald the warden when they had some riots somewhere?
After I graduated from University of Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
I had two friends who were social workers there, and I had my degree in social work, and I applied for a job there at Lucasville, and I took the tour. They showed me the death chamber and all that, and the thing that stood out to me the most was just how loose everything was. I mean, people, the inmates are just walking around, basically. You know, you always get a picture in your mind of inmates being in their cells and all. And, I mean, these guys were huge, and they're just walking around. And I'm like, you know, I was like 5'5", or whatever.
Were you?
Yeah. And
you still are.
I know. But my point being about I didn't get the job. And then about 2 years later, they had the riots there. In which guards were killed. Yeah,
that was a horrible riot. Mm-hmm. It was a long stand. Mm-hmm. There was a how many guards were killed? There were two guards.
I believe at least two, and a couple. Yeah. There were a couple people. A couple of inmates that received a death penalty for that were executed.
But I think there was about four. Yeah, and they got executed quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got executed very, very quickly. They put them in an express lane. Yeah,
they got the speed pass on that one. Now, Deborah Brown's an interesting one. Now, and Reginald Wilkerson, he was a director at Ohio prisons. He said Coleman had never really directly expressed any remorse for the killings, but he had admitted what he'd done in his own convoluted way. So he gets his final meal. Coleman, he orders a well-done filet mignon with mushrooms.
I don't like fish. I don't like fish.
What the fuck is that filet mignon?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Go ahead.
Jackass.
He wanted a salad with French dressing, sweet potato pie with whipped cream, French fried collard greens, onion rings, cornbread, broccoli with melted cheese.
That's just
biscuits
too much.
And gravy. Yeah,
he's going to get a tummy ache. He is.
And washed it down with a cherry Coke. Now, here's an interesting
scenario. I would have got him a regular Coke just to be pissy.
I'd have got him a Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah. After he eats all that stuff.
And you know what I'd have done? I'd have got him a can and shook it up real good before I got it.
Yeah.
When he opened it up, just blow up all over him. Like,
well, he's obviously like going to get indigestion.
But you know what would be funny about it, Tim? It's like, Alton, you're getting the death penalty tonight. You know, you nervous? Everything all right? You scared? You nervous? No, I'm cool. I'm all right. Everything fine with me. And then he opened up the pop that exploded, and he'd be like, ah! All over the place. I think that'd be funny as hell.
Yeah.
So anyway.
She's pissy. Surprised.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And it was said here, they sent a pastor into him.
Yeah.
And
a man of God.
And don't forget, he beat a pastor damn near to death.
Right. He stole his car.
And his pastor.
Left it at the car wash. Without washing it.
Yeah. And if you think. Pastors stick together.
Yeah.
So when he came,
they have a union.
When he came to talk to Alton Coleman, he told him. He said, "You know, what you can look forward to, son, is a lifetime of damnation, hellfire, sodomy, all the time." And Alton Coleman said, "Well, I would like to repent and have my sins forgiven." And the pastor said, "No, I do not accept your repentance. you getting hellfire, damnation inside of me.
Forever. I don't think that's his call, though. That's not pastor's call.
I think it is their call. I think they're the gatekeepers.
They are the gatekeepers. The pastor refused to give him...
Well, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying he should have appealed that.
No, and here's the other thing that was never noted in this, is that when you go in, you because they want you to confess and, you know, clean your conscience to... So he was alone, but don't forget, they wouldn't leave him alone unhandcuffed.
Right, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you remember those old blackjack things, leather-covered things?
Yeah.
The pastor had a blackjack. He beat the hell out of Alton Coleman with it.
Good for him.
Yeah, okay. That's I made all that part up. I know you did.
I know you did.
But anyway, here's the thing about Deborah Brown.
Yeah.
Our governor in Ohio at the time, Dick Celeste.
Dick Celeste before he dicks you.
Yeah. Dick Celeste, on his last week of office, well, last one or 2 days or so, commuted her sentence from death to life. But strangely, he did not do life without parole, which makes a big difference here.
Sure.
Because now she had the death penalty and she got it commuted to life. And life without parole in Ohio has to be sentenced by a jury. You can't get you can't commute the sentence to life without parole. It can be life, but not life without parole.
Right.
So she wasn't going to get the death penalty in Ohio. But if they release her in Ohio, she got the death penalty in
Indiana.
Yeah. So,
or Illinois.
Yeah, and Illinois. So she kind of screwed if Ohio released
her. If she would ever get out,
Indiana would snatch her up.
Yeah, they would snatch her up. So she's like, I'm good. No, no parole for me.
And I'm parole. No, she comes walking in with the parole hearing, throwing her own feces at the people and stuff.
Yeah.
But, she said, I don't. As she says, she remains unrepentant for her acts, and she's currently in the Ohio Reformatory for Women. I believe you spent about a year there, didn't you?
Yeah, she did.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
And, yeah, she still faces the death penalty in Ohio. Alton Coleman, he down somewhere down below where the devil is. Not the devil next to me, the but real the real devil, devil the devil, devil that she
She's just
worships.
An agent. She's just an agent.
Yeah, she's just his agent on Earth.
Run into him down there.
He being leaned over a sawhorse right now, sodomized by the devil himself.
That would be good. So Deborah Brown is still institutionalized, so our listeners can write her if they choose to do so.
I can't believe you haven't written her yet.
No, thank you. She's not attractive. If she was hot, that would be a different story.
It would be a different story.
Brandy, any final thoughts on Pissy Alton Coleman?
Fuck those guys. That was bullshit. I remember that. I remember everybody being scared to death.
I wasn't scared.
No, because clearly you're, got ninja skills. You're a
colonel.
Badass.
I'm the colonel.
But I was in the fourth grade. Now, I understand that you are a lot older than me, but I was young, and it was scary. So
I wasn't scared.
Right.
So, final thoughts?
No, evidently not.
I was walking around hoping they'd try to grab
Chuck me. Chuck wasn't scared.
I was walking around thinking, you grabbed a little tiny colonel, I'll put a foot right up your Alton Coleman ass.
Pissy,
yeah. You know what? They won't call you pissy anymore because I will yank that sumbitch off, shove it in your air, send you about
See,
your
you're
way.
You're just yamma, 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 yamma.
So, Colonel, any final thoughts?
No, he has no final thoughts.
I
want to give a special shout out to Omar. He wrote, he sent us a nice message on Facebook, and I forgot to give him a shout out early in the show. So, Omar, thank you very much for listening. He especially likes Colonel Justice.
Well, I think there should be Colonel Justice. I think there needs to be a reality TV show called Colonel Justice.
Yeah, you know what I wish
I'm
is
fair.
Like, you know, watching the Republican debate the other night, I was thinking it should be, they should just do like a Hunger Games, right? And then
that's what I think. Yeah,
and just put them all on TV and let them like who the last one standing, whoever survives this, then they're your nominee.
And that, you know what? That's what I told.
But you know, if it was Hillary and Bernie doing that, I'm not sure. But,
they're all polite to each other.
I can't imagine Bernie runs very well at his age, nor Hillary. But you know, Marco Rubio, I bet he's pretty quick. And you know Ted Cruz, he'll go to any lengths to get, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Ted Cruz would be a dead giveaway because that son of a bitch, he got to eat every 3 hours.
Oh,
I
my
mean,
God.
Every 3 hours. No. Son of a bitch got to eat.
Please sign and, off.
Okay, Carl, we
got to
get
finding
out.
Him wandering around, picking.
Please.
And don't forget to have
why
poison berries
that?
On there to trick him.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Why poison, did you do that?
He did mention the poison berries.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had the poison berries
seen,
on there.
I've seen Hunger Games, too.
Okay, so, Brandy, any nice words you would like to give to me?
No.
Say something nice to your producer this holiday season.
No, we got another show before. I don't want to say it now, and then it's ruined.
All right. Colonel, any nice words you have for me?
Why are you... Wait a minute. Here's my thing. Why he's, like, begging for compliments.
Well,
like,
you guys...
It doesn't work that way.
You got... On Facebook and on Twitter, you get... Your Twitter was broken last night, I know, but you get nice comments. The colonel gets nice comments. So I'm just saying this is an opportunity.
You just want your love.
I want some love here.
You know, okay, I'll tell you, listeners, Timmy's not a bad guy. And as I said
you,
on Twitter last night, you know,
Randy's Twitter is
we
broke.
Do a lot of joking around on this show, and I know I joke with the devil, but deep down, she's a horrible person. I mean, you know,
it's not on the surface.
Yeah, it's not surface. Deep down, she a bad, bad, bad person.
Right.
You know, in the example, she kick a puppy. Yeah. She'd kick a puppy. If a puppy were here right now.
She would kick a crippled puppy.
She tossed a crippled puppy out of a van.
Yeah.
And she a terrible person. Now, Timmy, on the other hand, he a little bit neurotic, but he a nice guy.
Thank
so
you,
give
Colonel.
Timmy a little bit of love on the Facebook page. You can
thank
skip
you,
over the devil. Try not to be so hard. Look, I'm trying to turn the devil into a good person here, okay? I'm hoping by osmosis she become a little bit more like the colonel.
Yeah. We all do. We all hope that.
Yeah. And it's worked. I mean, when you think about... Because you remember when we first started doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah. She was, you
I
know,
mean, she was just so mean and
well,
so...
She was.
And at least she tries to hide it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, at least she's had some self-awareness. Before she had none.
Had none. No, yeah. She just thought that it was like she was raised with wolves, and that's how. No, this is how you're supposed to act.
Yeah.
Acceptable social norms were things we had to teach the devil.
Right.
And
you two sons of bitches. I swear to God,
you've come a long way.
He's making sense. He makes no sense.
And I'm proud of you. I have to do. Yeah. I do say you're a horrible person, but I'm proud of you.
You're on a long way. You're on the right track, though.
Yeah.
Oh, suck it.
Well, all right, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
That's gratitude.
Say goodbye, everyone.
Good day.
Good day. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.